for our sport. The Southern 500 has obviously got a lot of history. It means a lot. And now to win, you know, it, on top of that, you had, you know, the first race of the playoffs. We get to go the next round, first win of the year. It's certainly a very significant win in my career.
Awesome. Well, we're going to get into questions for Denny. As we can see, we are also joined by the race winning crew chief, Chris Gabehart. So if you have a question for either of the gentlemen, please raise your hand and let's kick things off with Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congratulations, Denny. During the regular season, you had maintained all year that you guys were capable of getting to victory lane, but how frustrating was it not to be able to actually do it? And then how much of a relief was it to put it together at a critical time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had so many opportunities earlier this year to win races, and we only really had the fastest car twice, and we understood that. But you know, the five just went on a tear there. And for us, I mean, it certainly is significant. I'm not going to downplay the significance of it. It's not just another win. This one's big for us and our team and the momentum. We didn't have the playoff points that certainly we wish we had going into these playoffs. You know, there was no room for error. And, now to punch our ticket to the next round, we get to go out there and focus on, you know, get through that second round, which I think is probably the most dangerous.
And considering the next couple races, including Richmond next week, for you, does it kind of turn your playoff perspective on its head a little bit as your approach now?
You know, I don't think it will change a whole lot for us. I mean, certainly from my standpoint, I think this allows me to really focus on getting ready for the Roval. That's the one road course where, you know, I just haven't had good finishes. I think my car's been tore all to pieces there. It's just about every time I've run there. So to me, it's going to let me focus on the Roval, get more reps on it, and get better at it. Because, you know, obviously that's a very important one in that next round.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. And it looks like we are also joined here by Coach Joe Gibbs. So if you have a question for Coach as well, please raise your hand and we'll continue on with questions. Bruce Martin, go ahead.
Danny, conceivably the next couple of races coming up, you could probably win the next two and sweep the first round. So, you know, how important is that to be able to have so many strong tracks to kick off this part of the chase or the playoffs? I'm sorry.
It's good. I mean, when we look at this round, we knew that like this is, you know, this is our wheelhouse of tracks. These are the ones that we're going to perform really good at statistically. I mean, you know, yesterday's results, there's no guarantee today, but I knew that, you know, I feel like I've got, you know, somewhat of a small advantage on the field at tracks like this where I've learned so much at this track over time. And honestly, I wanted to rack up more stage points. Now this is going to help us, you know, going into the next, you know, round. We've got six more points than what we had before. So this is certainly a big help for that. And, we want to go to Richmond, win every stage and win that race too. That we're not going to, you know, take these next 2 weeks off. We want to keep this momentum going. That way, when we get to that treacherous round two, we're ready and we're in playoff form.
And what did you think when you saw the five car, your rearview mirror, make that move at the end?
Well, I was, you know, this racetrack is very unique in the sense that, like, you can go faster. You just got to get closer and closer to the wall. And my job the last run was just hold him at a 5-6 car length bay. You know, that's all I wanted to do is, I didn't need to go any further out than that. I didn't want to put my car at risk any more than I had to. So I just kind of maintained that 5-6 car lengths. Coming to the white, he got a great run off of four. I didn't get that good of a run. He closed it to four car lengths. And I'm like, still manageable. Like, you know, as long as I don't mess up, this thing is all still manageable. I should be fine. And then they said he got all the way to me and I felt him bump me getting into turn three. I'm like, where'd he come from? You know, he must have did something crazy to drive in that deep. But, it was cool that, we were able to hold him off. But you know, I'm sure it was very exciting from everyone else's standpoint. He said he had run out of options. He wanted to try it and it nearly worked.
And for Coach Gibbs, was that almost like seeing a Hail Mary pass get caught at the 2-yard line?
Well, I had an experience there. I was trying to hold my breath for 26 laps. I'll put it that way. Tonight, that was hard fought. And I think Darlington kind of produces that, but you had so many people have so many problems and issues, and a lot of them are the cars that are in the chase. So I think it says a lot about the racetrack. We appreciate the fans being here. And for us, you know, Denny fought his heart out. Chris did a great job for him. We got Offer Pad, which is a newer sponsor there for us. And we got FedEx. So all those things are just super important for us. And couldn't be happier tonight to get through that. And we're excited kind of about where we are. Lord bless us with a great night.
All right. Congratulations, both of you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
This is for Coach. Coach, we saw Kyle obviously have his issues earlier tonight. Were you able to have a conversation with him, and how do you approach these next 2 weeks with Kyle currently sitting outside the cut line?
Yeah, well, I think everybody in this sport, he's been through the playoffs a number of times. We have, and it's extremely tough. You got three races. It's like a little playoff. The thing that probably helped us some, it seemed like a lot of cars that were in the chase had issues. And so I haven't seen where the points are or anything, but this is going to be a hard fought deal for the next 2 weeks. I think that's probably what the fans like. And, but there's going to be a lot on the line. And as I mentioned, this race was really tough tonight. It was physical. A lot of cars got tore up. And I think we were just thrilled to get Denny, and Martin had a decent night. I really felt like Christopher, you know, with Sport Clips, who's always been a great sponsor for us here. He got messed up some too. So two of our cars had issues.
And then for Denny, I think we talked about it earlier this week that there was going to be this was shaping up to be a situation where your best was yet to come. Do you feel like you guys are starting to show that now? And what can this win do for these next 9 weeks for you guys?
I certainly hope so. I mean, we've been just a, you know, second, third place car most of the year. I mean, which is, you know, there'd be about 33 teams that would love to have that. But, you know, we've been very, very close. And obviously the five has been kind of stand out from the field. And we just kind of been the next best and then on average. And so, you know, you needed a race like this where, you know, my crew chief was telling me, you know, when we pulled away from third place there on the, you know, third to last run, green flag run, he says, you know, okay, we're back in the ball game. I need you to just keep us in the game here. Keep us in the game. Keep optimizing your lap time. I knew what my job was. I knew before he said, he didn't have to tell me where our strategy was. I knew what it was going to be based off of the lap times that I saw in the long run. And, you know, I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but certainly I knew what my job was. And when we got that caution there, you know, we didn't have the greatest pit stop. I kind of chugged it a little bit out of the pit stall and the 19 got around us. And I'm like, gosh, we just had an opportunity to take control of the race and we didn't do it. And then the 19 had a penalty. So I knew from that point, you know, he was going to have to wrestle me for the race win. I was not going to let him go. And it was probably going to get physical like it was in the last lap, if it happened any sooner.
Thank you.
All right, and we're going to take our next question here for our race winning crew chief, Chris Gabehart. This a track within the first round that you kind of had circled, you know, with Denny's past experiences and the two of you together? And then how do you kind of approach the next couple races in this round? Do you focus on the next round since you're locked in, or how do you approach the next couple races?
Yeah, well, certainly when you look at, you know, Denny's history here and the 750 tracks and, you know, Darlington, Richmond, Bristol, it's a dream round, really. I mean, and there's a certain amount of pressure that comes with that because, you know, these are all extremely talented race car drivers. And, you know, they've honestly had Denny's data to study for a lot of years now at these tracks. So it's hard to keep reinventing yourself. But, you know, his again, what I say about Denny at tracks like this is his risk assessment is just really, really high for a really long time. And he showed it again tonight. It wasn't a perfect night, but it's hard to be perfect in Southern 500. And it was good enough. You know, to your point about the next two races, I feel a whole lot better about going to the Daytona Next Gen test the next 2 days. I could tell you that. For starters. So Denny and I are going to go celebrate this win for 2 days in Daytona. But no, we were so good at Richmond the last time we were there, and just let that win slip away. So, and then at the Bristol night race, it's, you know, probably my favorite race tied with this race. It's coming up after. So to go into those two races, as the only team pressure free, is just going to make us that much more dangerous, those two races, and we're not going to let off the gas because of it. You can believe that.
Awesome. We're going to take our next one from Pete Acabelli. Go ahead, Pete. Pete, we're having some trouble hearing you, I think. Danny, were you able to hear him? We can come back to you, Pete, see if we can get that situated. We'll take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
I have a couple questions. First for Chris. You know, it was quite clear last year at Phoenix that you guys didn't have the speed at that place. And I'm just curious about the effort to improve the speed on the 750 tracks and what, even though this is a different track, what tonight means in terms of having that speed, especially with you and the 19.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of effort put forth. I think the amazing thing about our sport is it's so many little things. You can't just point to one spot where you put forth the effort and say that's the difference, but certainly it's been there. I mean, we've been really, really fast this year on 750s. I would argue, if not the fastest car, really, really close to it on average. And, you know, while this certainly doesn't translate to Phoenix, you know, I look at Loudon and we were really strong there and had an unfortunate last yellow flag stop that kind of took us out of the game with the lug nut thing. And then, Richmond, we were really pretty dominant at Richmond last time, the strongest we've been at Richmond in a really long time. So I think we're definitely clicking on all eight, but Phoenix is so far in the distance. I don't really even focus on that. I am looking forward to going to Richmond and Bristol pressure-free. I'm not going to lie about that. Those are going to be two races that I'm really going to enjoy. Denny knows how much Bristol means to me. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, we finally got a feel for Vegas. I feel like we've got a good baseline for Vegas, and that'll be the first race of the next round. So I'm full throttle, man. Looking forward to it.
Denny, obviously it's not the first time you beat Kyle Larson, even this season, but it's the first time to beat him for a win, to be able to beat him for a win, to beat that team for a win. Even with all the things that you guys done this season, what does it mean to just beat that five?
I mean, it means a lot. I mean, certainly you don't like to, you know, just, you know, being the next best every single week. And, you know, those, you know, you got to give credit to them. Like, you know, they performed the last 12 races of the regular season like we did the first 12, only they got the wins. They finished it off and got the wins when they were dominant. And so you got to give them their due. Kyle's obviously a, you know, tremendous talent, and you know, it certainly I'll take pride in it. You know, we're very close friends off the racetrack, and, you know, we talk a lot, and it's great to be able to battle one of your good friends.
Did you expect something like that at the end from him?
I mean, I figured there was something coming. I thought that he was actually going to dive bomb low because I'd started backing up my entry at turn three to make sure I kept it off the wall. You know, as I kind of was maintaining that gap to him, I just kept, you know, creeping down a little bit to make sure I gave myself a little bit more room. And with that, you're giving up lap time. So I thought that the bold move was going to come from the bottom. But yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't think he was going to get to my rear bumper as far back as he was, but, you know,
Sorry, I don't know. I think my internet connection was unstable for a second. Sorry, Dustin, did you finish asking your questions?
Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. We're going to take our next one, Pete. Let's see if your audio is working.
Hello, can you hear me?
No.
So listen, hey, I can. He's in the room next to me. I can hear him. So
okay, then Pete, yell a little loud, and Denny can hear you.
I'm a professional and do my job the best I can. And today I thought we did as good as we could. We executed. We had finally the anvil didn't drop right on us like it did yesterday. So I was proud of the effort that we put forth. And you know, my team's always giving the best effort. And you know, I know my job every Sunday.
All right, we're gonna take our next one from Alex Andreja. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey there, this is a question for Chris, but did you feel like you beat the five team more on strategy tonight or speed?
Man, that's tough. I think it's honestly a little bit hard to say. Certainly the first two stages, it was clear we didn't have the speed to just dominate. I mean, we kept them close, and there was a point there where I even told Denny on the radio, I'm like, okay, we're in a ball game here. You can see him. We're running second. We fixed a few things about what he was doing in the car to pick up some lap time. At that point, I told him, don't forget, this is Darlington. Just keep us in the game. We're close. We're where we need to be. And then in that third stage, I think when strategy went haywire and we kind of split, I honestly think it turned the focus from who had the better car to this crazy strategy and how it was going to play out and sort of camouflaged strengths and weaknesses of the two cars and how they had progressed over the last 100 laps. And clearly when it come time for a run there at the end, we were good enough. I mean, then he just told you he had a little in the tank, but you know, Darlington will reach out and bite you if you get too greedy. So, you know, had the five been in front of us, I'm not saying we could have passed him, but you know, clearly the five was, we were in front of the five and he couldn't pass us. So I think in the end, we were definitely close on both.
And then going forward, if you know, you're assuming you're going to keep battling with this five team, do you feel like speed is sort of where it needs to be to compete with them every week at this point?
Well, it's racing, so definitely speed is always, I'm not going to say a cure-all, but it's a very important ingredient. But this is NASCAR racing, and you know, here's the truth. Denny and I have been here the last 2 years. We've experienced the fact that it's not enough just to be fast. You have to execute clean each and every lap of the next nine races. And you've seen a lot of teams that weren't able to do that today at Darlington. And there's a lot of pressure that comes along with that. And Denny and I have certainly become familiar with that together over the last couple of seasons. I think we've learned a lot from it and looking forward to carrying on.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next one from Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
Also, for Chris, what do you make of all the attrition that was out there tonight with all the playoff cars? You know, it just seemed like for a playoff opener, there was a pretty high degree of people making mistakes and things like that.
No, there wasn't. It's the Southern 500 at Darlington. These guys, you know, they're the best stock car drivers in the world. So they make it look easy, no different than Tom Brady makes, you know, winning the Super Bowl look easy. But it's not easy, guys. And Darlington at Southern 500 will remind you of that. So, you know, NASCAR racing was born on endurance racing, you know, and in a lot of ways it's sort of ran its course. There's not a lot of 500-mile races that are a thriller anymore, but Darlington is the true quintessential NASCAR race. And that, you know, the endurance really is the test, man and machine for 500 miles. And you saw that tonight. I mean, there were only a few guys left standing at the end with a shot to win. And that's just a tribute to this racetrack and this race.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. And Coach, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for taking some time with us. We wish you the best of luck and congratulations on the win.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Ain't going too far. Wait on me, bud.
Hey, that's exactly right. And I wanted to mention Bass Pro and Johnny and Auto Owners on that car, the 19, finishing fourth. And we're proud of them. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, Denny and Chris, we have a couple more here for you. So we're going to take our next one from Bob Pockerson.
Yeah, this is for Denny. I know it's early in the playoffs, but do you see this going, this coming down to you and Larson come Phoenix?
Oh my gosh, there's just so much racing left. Who knows, right? I mean, you know, we thought that 2020, when we won, you know, seven races, you know, me and Harvick were locks, right? Harvick wasn't a lock, and you know, it came down the last lap at Martinsville, and it was going to be him or me. And so I certainly think, I mean, if you look at the numbers, we've been the best two cars. I mean, we had a, what is it, like a 4 or 5 race gap in points, like over the next, over third place. Like, that's a significant amount of points because we've been the best two teams on average. Each and every week. And, you know, he took over kind of the lead reins. So I thought the last 12 races or so, and those guys deserve all the credit that they, and all the accolades and all the praise that they got. I mean, they just performed flawlessly and no mistakes, and they were fast and won stages, won races. And I mean, you know, at one point, you know, we're thinking, well, we're just going to win every week. So, and, you know, from their mindset, it's like, well, you know, they got the speed, they got a great driver. It's like, they probably should win every week, but you know, you just never know what can happen. You know, that's why they race these races. So, you know, I lean on my experience, and when I don't always have the very fastest car, we got a good crew chief and a good team to figure out how else can we win, you know, because it ain't always about speed. But I certainly feel like we've closed the gap. I would love to race Larson in the last race, the same as I would have loved to race Harvick last year in the final race. But you just never know. This is the format, right? I mean, and you just never know, because it's a 3-race season, and what you did for the first 30-something, when you get down to the end, just doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was going to say, Harvick won this race a year ago. So, I mean, is your greatest fear having something happen to you like happened to him?
I mean, it's not a fear of performance. I can tell you that. If we, on performance, we're good enough, we should be in the final four. It's everything else. It's the everything else that happens in the middle of a race that can take you out. I mean, the Xfinity race, right? I mean, that's a prime example, right? You're going to win, and there's a caution and the penalty. Like, all the things can take you out. And, you know, I give my crew chief a lot of credit. You know, he had a great, you know, group message with the team yesterday about, you know, it's time to go now, you know, and, you know, this is what we work for. You know, he's been a great leader of the team, and those guys understand their roles. And we all understand, you know, if we want to win and we're going to beat the best, we're going to have to, everyone's got to do their job flawlessly with no mistakes. And today we did that.
All right, we're going to take our next one from Chris tonight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Denny, congratulations on the win tonight. I was just curious of what your expectations were for the next Gen Test of Daytona, and is there goals that you specifically want to accomplish?
You know, for me, just kind of building a logbook of how that car drafts. I mean, obviously the first time we're going to run it, I think, is going to be Daytona 500. I'm not sure. But you know, it's going to be a car that drafts completely different. So I want to try to, you know, gather all the information I can on what it likes and what it doesn't like, try to provide NASCAR and my team the information they need, for the test. This will be the first time it's on a racetrack with that many cars. So, you know, we're going to get a sample size of kind of what we're in for next year. And hopefully, you know, it performs as good as we hope.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, Denny and Chris. Well, we're going to let you go so Coach doesn't leave you guys behind. Congratulations on the victory. And we wish you the best of luck in the upcoming races at Richmond and Bristol. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
and to all of the media. We will have transcripts from this availability as well as the audio and video posted here shortly. Photos are already up. And as always, if you have any questions, please reach out. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Marissa. Bye.